fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 23rd day of April, year of our Lord, 2021. Well, welcome to the John Moore Show. Last night we had our preparedness meeting, and we began with the Pledge of Allegiance. And that's what we do here. If you want to volunteer, just send me an email. My email address is at my website. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats. Right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip of the day, take an updated first aid and updated CPR class. CPR protocols change. In fact, they're no longer recommending mouth-to-mouth as part of CPR. I assume that's because of COVID. But it's good to have an updated first aid class, possibly even an advanced first aid class, wilderness first aid, for example, and be sure to put together a kit equal to your skill level. That would be a really good idea. We usually have Tom Berryhill call in the first hour on Fridays. He hasn't yet, but if he does, we will bring him on, and we'll be talking about emergency survival communications and related topics. And, of course, those discussions take into account the following website, the ARRL.org. That's ARRL.org website. That's the American Radio Relay League. That's the best place to get started with ham radio. Very comprehensive website. Personally, I find it somewhat easy to navigate. Some people don't. I do. One of the more valuable things, or everything there is valuable, one of the more valuable things there is how to find your local ham radio club. I get emails and phone calls all the time. John, how do I find people of like mind? Well, your local ham radio club is a good place to do that. And it looks like we do have Tom with us. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Well, sir, I was just mentioning the ARRL .org website and how you can locate your local ham radio club, and how I'm always getting phone calls and emails asking me how people can find others of like mind, find groups of like mind. And I would say 90% of people in ham radio are interested in preparedness to a greater or lesser extent, aren't they, sir?
Yeah, I think so. It sure seems to be the case. But it is wise to go to your local club and see what's going on there, introduce yourself, tell them that you're interested in becoming a ham radio operator, and there'll be somebody there that'll help you. And in most cases, that club is also the ones that do the tests. They are the volunteer examiners for the FCC, and they'll help you get your license.
Right, right. And there's a lot of radio clubs in the United States. Get that 2,769 amateur radio clubs. And while these aren't necessarily all in the United States, they could be affiliated and be outside the country, couldn't they?
I guess they could be. I've never really looked at the list. I know about some of the local ones around here.
It would be, they don't, in the little search box, they don't have a place to look for clubs outside the country. So maybe they don't accept clubs outside the country. Regardless, 2,769 ham radio clubs. If you live in Nevada or South Dakota, you may have to drive quite a ways, but then people are used to driving quite a ways to do routine things out there anyway, aren't they, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I drive quite a distance around here just to have coffee with friends and things like that. So yeah. when you live in a rural area, that's how it is.
It's just part of life. I routinely drive 45 minutes one way to have lunch. Today I'm having lunch with a friend. It's going to be about an hour and a half drive one way. But that's okay. It's a small price to pay for not being in an urban, suburban area, isn't it, sir?
It sure is. And
small price.
Tell you the truth, John, long drives like that on the highway is actually better for your car than that city driving.
Yeah, I remember I was visiting a town in northeast Arkansas, and the used car lot had a big sign up, city-driven northern cars. But they had for sale. City-driven northern cars, and I think, man, these people are idiots. You know, that's about the worst car you'd get because of this.
Like buying a New York taxi cab or something.
Yeah, short drives and salt. That's just what my car needs, short drives and salt. Regardless, we've had quite a few men and women that, because of you and I talking on Friday mornings, they've looked into ham radio, they researched it, they decided that ham radio is something they wanted to be part of, and I get emails all the time of people mailing me photographs of their equipment, of the towers and the antennas they got set up, letting me know they're about to take their test, that they did take their test, that they now got their license. And I'll be working with you, Tom. I'd like to do another ham radio class with our local preparedness group, and we'll be offering free handheld radios with the chargers for the people that go ahead and get their license as a bit of incentive. Hopefully, get some young people involved because we need young blood in ham radio. I believe the average age of ham radio operators is about early to mid 60s, isn't it?
Well, they're all over the place, but that seems to be the case. The younger crowd is more interested in cell phones, online activities, things like that. But there's still quite a few that do take to it. They like the digital modes. I know there's a lot of interest in that. I don't do much with it myself, but there's a lot of interest in using these digital modes. And John, you can take a 1-watt transmitter, little bitty thing you can hold in the palm of your hand, hook that up with a laptop computer and go on one of the digital modes on the HF band and talk all over the world. It takes very little power. And for some reason, those computers are able to pull the signals right out of the noise level. It's amazing. You can barely hear the signal, but the computer gets it. And whatever bits are missing, they reconstruct it, and the message comes through. It's amazing.
Well,
so there's a lot of interest in that, especially with the young crowd.
That is amazing. And if you got a question or comment about ham radio, emergency survival communications, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. A lot. It's a whole subculture of men and women worldwide. When you go through the list of ham radio operators around the world, you find celebrities, you find royalty, you find men and women involved in Fortune 500 companies, and a lot of just plain folks that are retired, maybe a policeman, a fireman, a carpenter, electrician, plumber, all kinds of people involved in ham radio worldwide, aren't there, Tom?
Yeah, there's every walk of life will be represented, you know, in the ham radio ranks. So it's you'll be amazed at who you're talking to one day. You know, it might be somebody that's working on a construction job, and then later the same day you might be talking to a neurosurgeon. You never know.
That's right. That's right. Well, a lot of older folks, they're intimidated because they don't know how the testing has changed, the requirements. You no longer have to have Morse code capability to get your ham radio license, do you, sir?
No, they took that away. I don't remember exactly when it was, 2005 or 7, something like that. But they eliminated that, and they've made the test a lot easier. Back in the old days, it was a very, very difficult test, and you had to really do some studying. And not only that, you couldn't just memorize questions. I mean, if you're good at memorizing things, there's a good chance you can pass that test today and not even know anything about electronics because they published the answers. But in the old days, I remember on the extra class test itself, we actually had to draw a schematic or draw some parts into a partial schematic. I remember the one question that asked where to place a neutralization capacitor in this power amplifier circuit. And they don't have anything like that today. It's much, much more relaxed. And the reason for that is the equipment is more plug-and-play than it used to be in the old days. Way back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even into the 70s some, the equipment was much more sophisticated. And, it was actually simple compared to today's equipment, the digital equipment, but it was sophisticated as far as adjusting the power amplifier, things like this. And if it wasn't adjusted right, you'd have all kinds of signals coming out of that transmitter that could interfere with other radio services. And you might have your signal going out, but there could be other signals coming out at the same time from your transmitter that could interfere with a government agency or some other company that uses nearby frequencies on another continent, and that has happened. So that's why you had to have the expertise in the old days to make sure everything was operating just perfectly. Now, pretty much all of that's taken care of with the designs of the equipment. You just plug it in, set up the antenna, and you're on the air. You can learn more about it if you wish, but it's not really required to get the license.
Well, and what we're doing here is hopefully motivating people to get past the fear of things that no longer exist, move forward to get the knowledge, get the skills, get the license, get the equipment for yourself and the people you want to talk to the most. Because if there's not a ham radio operator on both ends, it's not going to happen, will it?
No. You're going to, there's a skill set that has to be learned, and you can't do it overnight. You need the equipment. You need to listen and learn the on-the-air procedures, figure out how people are doing this. The ham clubs can help you, but a lot of it is just hands-on. You just do it. And after a few days of being on the air, you'll actually kind of have a good grasp on what's going on and how to operate the equipment, how to contact another station, and so on. It gets a little more complex when you go on the HF bands, but it's easily conquered. Don't worry about fears. Just get on and do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's... At the moment now, I've been hearing for 9 or 10 months, Tom, that there's similar wait times to guns and ammunition with high quality ham radio equipment, not nearly as bad. But when people are scared, and they have a right to be scared with World War III possibly already being underway, they do things that they think will help them be safe. And that's where ham radio, access to ham radio equipment is becoming more difficult, may take a little bit longer. But as far as I know, you can still get what you need, can't you, sir?
I believe so. I'm not aware of a lot of shortages. I'm sure certain types of equipment are difficult to get. So maybe something new that's come out, they sell out pretty fast. Everybody wants to get one, things like that. But there's a lot of used equipment, and there's websites that have listings for used equipment where people have outgrown something. Maybe they got a new type of radio or some new equipment, and they're going to sell off their old stuff. It might still be perfectly usable. Might even look like new. I've seen ads where there's people selling at a discount radios they've only had for 3 months. They just didn't like it, or they're going another direction, and they're selling it. So this is a good way to get some of the equipment. You can get some pretty nice equipment that's 30 years old and still perfectly usable on the ham radio frequency. So you don't have to have the latest and greatest. And sometimes, John, these newer radios, they have so many buttons and menus. I mean, they are so complex. In a stressful situation, you would have trouble operating that thing if you couldn't remember where all the menus were, something like that. And it's gotten to the point with a lot of these pieces of equipment that there's third-party suppliers for cheat sheets. They make little laminated cards and sheets that explain where all the menus are and show a flow chart and all that. And to operate radio equipment, I find that incredible that it has gotten that complex. I personally don't think it's needed, but a lot of people like it, not me.
Right. Well, I'm the same way. I don't want or need unnecessary complexity. It's just not necessary. And something we see also with ham radio clubs is the widow of a ham radio operator will sell off everything that her husband had when he passed. And a lot of equipment becomes available in that manner, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, there's several people that actually specialize in that. And I've bought equipment that way. I bought some not too long ago from a fellow in Georgia who was representing an estate and liquidating everything. And I actually bought some test equipment from him. I don't buy too much equipment anymore to actually use on the air, but I'm mainly interested in test equipment and things like that. And many of these hams have some pretty nice test equipment they use for making adjustments, things like that. So I'm always on the lookout for those types of items. And there's all these websites that you can find, including eBay. You can find deals on this equipment and not spend a lot of money. I really think you could get your first hams set up for maybe $100. You don't have to spend lots of money to do it.
Well, and that's important. People are on tight budgets. The COVID has reduced many folks' incomes. They've lost employment. They're getting these COVID relief checks, which are helpful, but they're not. It's not a huge amount of money. So it's reassuring to know that people can get what they need that will be very good equipment, very effective, do what needs to be done for maybe only $100. That should give people some peace of mind, Tom, that they can move forward to do what they need to do, right?
Yes, that's very true. You don't need to spend huge amounts of money to do this. You can get started for less than $100 even. And there's all types of used equipment on the market, and I wouldn't even buy something new when starting out. Spend a little bit and just get started with a secondhand piece of equipment. You can go from there.
Absolutely. Here's our break. Call numbers 512-248-8252.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there on my feet. Got to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand, live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the 23rd day of April. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. In addition to the regular $50 off each unit at my website for the EMP Shield devices, there's an additional dollar amount off because of the special COVID relief sale, which is still in effect. Check that out at my website at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications and the excellent website. I like it myself. Some people don't, but I find it quick and easy to use. The ARRL, that's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima. .org website. And every crisis, Tom, Hurricane Katrina comes to mind, various earthquakes we've had over the years. Every crisis of the last century, the ham radio people can talk when the National Guard can't talk, the fire departments can't talk, the police can't talk, the state troopers can't talk, but the ham radio people can still talk and get the messages in and out of the affected area, can't they, sir?
Well, that's true many times, and the reason for that is the ham operators aren't limited to certain channels, whereas the police, law enforcement, so on, they have specific frequencies they have to be on, a channel, and they can't move to something that might work better. The ham radio operators have bands of frequencies all over the place, all over the RF spectrum, and they can select the band that's going to work the best. I really think in an all-out emergency, lights out, power out, just everything gone, I think the HF bands will be the best bet, really, because the VHF, UHF, they give limited local coverage for the most part, sometimes regional a little bit, but the HF bands would give you your local, regional, and international, national and international coverage. So I think a wise investment is in radio equipment that covers the HF bands and then also have VHF and UHF frequencies available. If you first get into ham radio, don't make a mistake of buying a handheld walkie-talkie as your first radio. You're going to be very disappointed. And that's what takes a lot of new ham operators, John, and just shoves them by the wayside, and they lose interest very quickly because they bought a $30, $40 little handheld HT radio, and they couldn't talk as far as they could with their cell phone. It just didn't work, so they gave up, and gave up before they ever got started.
Well, that's a shame, and it happens. Well, Americans like their pistols, and Americans like their handheld radios. Neither one of which are very effective, are they?
Yeah, that's right. These HTs are good if you want to talk at a local gathering, something like that. If you want to talk maybe a quarter mile, I don't think they're much good for any distances longer than that. And there's ways to extend the range. You can use your HT through your car. If you have a higher power unit in your car, if you have a dual band HT and a dual band mobile unit, you can turn your car and the radio in your car, which could be higher power. That could be set up as a cross band repeater that will get you some extra distance. But that's even a little bit complex. A lot of radios will do it, and you can extend your range that way. That's very similar to what the law enforcement does with the HTs they use. They go through a mobile repeater and into maybe a 75 or 100-watt mobile radio, so that gives them a lot more power. So it's almost like putting that 100-watt mobile unit in the palm of your hand.
Right.
So you can
right.
do things like that. But it takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of work to get it done. But it can be done.
Absolutely. Well,
for really serious emergencies, HF is where it's at.
Now, the FCC used to restrict handhelds to 5 watts, but I'm seeing some handheld radios at 7 watts. Do you have any idea why that is, sir?
Well, I actually have this HT. It was on sale at, of all places, a computer store. I don't remember what I paid for it. $35 or $40. It was a clearance thing. It was one of those Chinese radios, and it says 8 watts.
Eight watts.
It's still sitting in the box. I bought it. I just wanted to read about it, but they say right in the specifications, 8 watts. I should fire it up and measure the output, but it's, 8 watts. That's the reason is that's too much radiation that close to your face.
Right.
You don't want that. You don't want that. And right. the higher the frequency, the worse the problem
right.
is.
Well,
so.
Well, some of these ham frequencies are very, very close to the microwave frequency, aren't they, sir?
I think microwaves work at 2,600 megahertz or 2.6 gigahertz is the microwave oven frequency. That's maximum penetration into tissue. So
right.
There are some ham bands near there, but the people that are working on those frequencies are careful.
Yep. Hold that thought. We got a break. The call number is 512-248-8255.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendabite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendabite a try. Extendabite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendabite.
We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 23rd of April. My website is thelibertyman.com. Updated every 24 hours, the daily intelligence briefing put together by a friend of mine, former counterintelligence agent. That's right there in the top left corner of my website at thelibertyman.com. Two panels over, a wood burning stove that has no smoke. There is such a thing. Complete combustion. The rocket stove. Right below that, Professor McKinney's wing generator. It'll take you 3 to 6 months to get everything set up. It's a process. And last but not least, I will be getting energy cleaners tonight. And they will be getting packed up beginning tonight and tomorrow morning, getting these back orders out the door. We'll have some extras, so if you want to place your order, we can take care of it. Your order for your energy cleaner, your mattress pad to help you get your life back. So you folks with arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, everybody who wants to get a great night's sleep like I do every night, go ahead and get your order in, and I will process it and ship it out the little country post office there at Terrell, Missouri, where tonight you can get an all-you-can-eat catfish buffet for $8. A lot of my listeners have taken part in that, and they really enjoy it. It's a big hit with the neighbors here. So check out the energy cleaner, the mattress pad, place your order at my website. You can send me a check. My address is there also. And, of course, I have a toll-free order line 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. 9543. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications and the excellent website to get started, everything you need to get started, the ARRL.org, that's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org website. You can get the information you need to begin your study. You can find your local ham radio club and get up to speed on the ham radio subculture in general, can't you, Tom?
Yes, you can. They have a lot of information there. There's many other websites available as well. You can find online tests. They do simulated tests, so you can start taking the ham radio examination, and once you start getting a passing grade, you're ready to take the actual test. It's not hard to do, and I think somebody, if they would just give it a lot of effort for 2 or 3 weeks, and in almost every case, a month at the most, I think anybody could pass that test. Not hard to do.
Okay. There's a summer camp for young amateur radio operators this summer. It's July 11th to the 16th at the Westchester Township, north of Cincinnati. The cost is only $100. Very, very reasonable, of course. And I'm not seeing the ages that they encourage young people to be here, but there's details. Here we go. Youth On Air website. I assume it's for teenagers, but I don't know that yet. Let's see what we've got here. It's all video. Nothing to read. Everything's video. It seems to be the way things are going, doesn't it, Tom?
It is. And, you know, John, you can spend your whole life just trying to study up on a few subjects because of these videos. I have people sending me emails that say, here, check this out, and it's a one-hour video. If they can't give me something that I can read in a minute or two, I can't deal with it. I just delete it. And these videos are huge time waster as far as I'm concerned. Unless it's a subject you really need to brush up on, videos are very difficult to handle. You can spend your whole day just trying to look at some of these things. I don't know how people do it. I really don't.
Well, I don't either. I prefer written articles myself. If somebody sends me a video that's more than 10 or 15 minutes, the odds of me looking at it are pretty slim to none, I'd say. I'm a fast reader. I like to read, and it's just, okay, let's see if we can get some information here. No, everything's on video.
Yeah. I don't even mess with a 15-minute video unless it's a subject that I really need to research. I just don't mess with it, John. If I can skim through an article really fast and get the key points and find what I need to know and I'm finished in just one or two minutes sometimes. But a 15-minute video even is a... You know, you get to the end of some of these videos and you wonder, why did I spend the time to watch this? There was no good information there at all. That happens a lot.
Plus, frequently, the quality of the video and the audio is so poor that it's almost painful to look at these things.
I don't know if there's any standards for online audio levels, but I've noticed that as well. You know, you get into the broadcast, on-the-air broadcasts, and those are regulated. So you tune from one station to another, and everything's about the same loudness, you know, but boy, you go on a YouTube, you might have to turn the volume up all the way just to hear a little bit of something, and then you go to the next video, and it'll blast you out of the room. I don't know if there's any industry standards for that, but there should be.
Well, I finally got what I was looking for. It's for licensed ham radio operators age 15 to 25 is the Youth On The Air Camp. So, it could be a lot of fun for people in that category, age 15 to 25, maybe we might be a couple of our listeners might be interested in it. You never know. That's in the metro Cincinnati area. Beautiful town. Regardless, whatever it takes, get involved, especially young people. We like to encourage homeschoolers to look at ham radio as a way to help educate youngsters in electronics and radio, mathematics, various skills such as soldering are all involved in ham radio, aren't they? Aren't they, Tom?
Yeah, they are. And soldering is a very, very important skill. And it's amazing how many ham operators don't know how to solder. So it's a good thing to learn those skills. And John, I used to be in the printed wiring industry, that business, and we made multi-layer printed circuits. And I had a lot of those boards left over. They're just the green boards that are in everything electronic with all the squiggly lines on there. But they were great to teach people how to solder, because almost everything you're going to do nowadays is on a circuit board. So I would give those away and to some of the ham groups and that, so they could practice soldering, put resistors, capacitors on there and solder them in. I had a lot of resistors left over from the old days, and I would give those away as well. It was a good way to teach people how to solder. And it's a critical skill, and it's really needed if you're going to be working on antennas and any type of ham equipment. And then you need to learn how to work crimping tools, get the proper tools and things to put on antenna connectors and make attachments to power cables and things like that.
Absolutely. Well, all good skills. Homeschool people are always looking for worthwhile projects that will actually help educate the child, and it can become a hobby for the whole family, where the 8-year-olds can do adult things, and children, most children's play is pretending to do what adults do in real life, but in this case, the children can do what adults actually do in real life, can't they?
Yes, they can, and if you get into ham radio, it doesn't matter what age you are. Everybody's pretty much on the same level, and that's what I discovered as a young guy getting on there, is you'd be talking to people that were much older than you and had a lot of skills that they were eager to share and teach you how to do specific engineering tasks that you would have had to go to university for years to learn, and they were able to share some of that information with you, and you could learn very rapidly how to get the job done. It's a great resource. It really is, especially for homeschoolers.
Well, this is reassuring, because one of the concerns of all homeschoolers, of course, is the cost involved. There's dozens and dozens of kits available. Entry-level kits to more advanced kits for children to assemble radios and related equipment, aren't there, Tom?
Yes, there is, and you can go on eBay and John, and look up ham radio kits, and you'll find all types of things. I recently bought a small, it's a small cabinet, just a couple of knobs on there. It's a CW, which is Morse code transceiver, for the 40-meter band. And it was very inexpensive, less than $100, including the shipping. And I have not put it together yet, but I did review the documentation that came with it. And everything's there to get this thing set up. And with that little setup, that little transceiver, you could talk all over the country and probably all over the world. It's only a few watts of power, but I'm interested in the low-power operation and things like that. A lot of the ham operators nowadays came over from the CB channels, and they are obsessed with huge power levels, and they brought some of their bad habits with them. You don't need all that power. The maximum power you can run is 1.5 kilowatts or 1,500 watts peak power, and some of the ham operators actually exceed that, and they have amplifiers that are in excess of that, and you just don't really need it. It's expensive, and you're going to find that most ham operators, and I'm thinking of the HF bands especially, they operate at the 100-watt power level. With 100 watts, you can talk worldwide. It doesn't take as much power as everybody thinks. Antennas are very important, and setting the thing up with the proper transmission line, feed line. If you use coaxial cable, you have to get the right type. I prefer on HF bands the open wire feeders. You'll need an antenna coupler, antenna tuner, and you got to learn how to operate that. On the VHF bands, I've not seen any mobile units that were higher than 100 watts, and the average on a 2-meter band is usually around 40 to maybe 75 watts is where most of the transceivers operate. And then they almost all of them have a low power setting where you can turn it down to just a few watts, usually around 5 watts. And by law, you're supposed to operate at the lowest power level that would allow reliable communication. So if you're talking to a station using a 1-kilowatt transmitter and the station's across town, well, that's really not a smart thing to do. You can turn your power way down and talk to that person, and they won't notice any difference in the reception. But it may eliminate interference to a station that's on the other side of the country. And that's you have to be considerate of the other operators that might be using the same frequency. So that's why you should always use the lowest power. Although 100 watts seems to be standard, you can get by with a lot less, and you don't need big amplifiers. It's a huge expense, and if you want to get into that, that's great, but fine-tune your on-the-air skills and learn the ropes before you start messing with these high-power amplifiers. They're kind of dangerous, too. You can get electrocuted if you use the tube type. I mean, some of the power supplies are 2,000 to 3,000 volts in there, and you don't want to start poking around in that piece of equipment without knowing what you're doing.
And well, as the old saying goes, the amps will kill you, not the volts.
Well, at 2,000 volts, that's going to be able to push enough current through you that will kill you. There's been plenty of ham operators electrocuted. It's happened. The other thing that people don't realize is even with a 100-watt transmitter, if you grab the antenna will have voltage nodes and current nodes, and it's hard to describe, but along the points of the length of the antenna wire, if you have a wire antenna that's strung maybe between some trees, there'll be certain points on that wire that will have very high voltage. And in some cases, 1,000 volts or more, with even a low-power transmitter. And it will be there, and you... Now, I don't think you'd get electrocuted or killed by that. I guess you could if you hung on to it long enough, but it usually burns you. You get what's called an RF burn, and I've had plenty of them. I've learned the hard way. But it'll put a scorch mark, just like you grabbed a hot soldering iron or touched an electric range element, something like that. It'll put a white streak on your hand. You learn real fast. So... These transmitters can be dangerous, so you have to learn what to do and what not to do. And that's where the members at a ham club could help you out a little bit.
Well, pain is a tough teacher and teaches lessons you don't forget.
That's for sure. And you'll learn fast if you grab one of these antennas while somebody's transmitting. And I've done it.
Well, personally, whenever I'm climbing a tower or something like that, I make sure everything's disconnected so there can't be any screw-ups on it because I don't want to be injured by these things. It's not necessary and easy to avoid, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And there are some cases where you have to operate with an energized circuit, and one situation is if you, in the broadcast engineering field, if you have to work on antennas many times, usually there's an antenna crew that does that, but if the engineer has to get up there and do something on the antenna while it's transmitting, they can do that, but on an AM station, the whole tower is energized. Not just the antennas at the top. The whole tower is actually energized with RF. And usually there'll be a fence around the base of that tower, and it'll have warning signs on it. But in many cases, you have to get on that tower. And when you do that, you have to jump onto it. You don't grab the tower while you're still standing on the ground and start to climb up. You have to actually jump onto the tower.
Oh, no.
So you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've seen the towers that they're
sitting on a large glass ball to insulate them from ground. And there's a lot of energy there.
We have a caller on hold. We got our last break. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We have our caller here, Tom, is at Glenn in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Tom. Tom? Glenn, go ahead. Sorry.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tom. I hear you talking about stuff like soldering and stuff. It stimulated a little nostalgia nugget for me. The consummate hobbyists soldering and assembling task of the 70s, early 70s, as I remember, was the Heathkit console television kit. Do you know, remember these things?
Oh, yeah.
That was, we had a Heathkit store on the boulevard going in down into Philadelphia around here, and I remember going in there being sorely tempted several times, but, you know, to maybe take a shot at that, but I never did. But I knew
a guy that
did.
Built one of those. Yeah, I know a guy that built a Heathkit television, a large one, and it was really a nice television set. They had a Heathkit store in St. Louis, on Gravois Avenue in St. Louis, in the early 70s. It's, the building's still there, but it's, they're long gone. Well, Heathkit's kind of gone. I think somebody tried to bring them back. But I built a lot of different Heathkit products. Their stuff was great.
Well, they must have had a heck of a time selling parts to people who, like, I, you know, smoked this capacitor or fried that board. Oops. Well, you know, the soldering, we're talking about soldering technique. I was thinking about, yeah, you better know how to have your connections tinned, use the appropriate wattage soldering iron and the right type of flux or rosin flux or a silver solder or whatever it is you're using, so that, you know, solder of the smallest necessary gauge and apply the heat as for as short a time as possible to get good flow so you don't get a cold connection. And, you know, that's where all your practice on the little stuff came in handy.
Well, you know, Glenn, I'll tell you that what works for me, and I've been soldering since I was 6 years old. That's when I learned how to solder. And, you know, people think you have to use as little heat as possible. Sometimes it's better to have more heat,
right amount,
more power. Get in there and get out quick. I don't like these newer no lead solders. They're junk. As a matter of fact, when we worked on military equipment, you were not allowed to use any of that lead free solder. The best solder is the Eutectic alloy of 63% tin, 37% lead. 63-37. There's no plastic range. It's liquid, then it's solid. When you have 60-40, you'd have to look at a chart, but you'll see these different ratios of tin and lead, and they and what happens is that it becomes, there's a plastic range. It goes from molten or liquid to kind of a slush, and then it solidifies. That's the best way to get a cold solder joint, and the best is the 63-37. I use Kester 44 series 63-37.
Tom, thank you very much. Glenn, thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
We got a top of the hour break. We'll be back with a new guest. It'll be kind of a surprise. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.